So Ilse, what areas of the country are quite hot at the moment that you're looking at?
Well, that's a secret sauce.
No, James.
Yeah. That's the $1 million. Yeah. No, yeah. So that's the $350,000 question.
Yeah. Yeah. Give the tip, Ilse, you'll know this, is you give people all of the secrets, they still won't do them, they'll still come to you and do business. So tell us, where in the country?
Hey, we're seeing that in the market, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So from Whangarei right down to Dunedin.
So what you're really saying, Ilse, you don't like Invercargill, is that? Invercargill and Gore off the... Okay, so anywhere between Whangarei and Dunedin is open for business pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you know exactly where to go.
Welcome to Checks and Balances. I'm Michael Vincent. This is James Blair. And today we have Ilse Wolf from Wolf Property on the podcast to talk about the hot new housing trend that you need to know.
Ilse, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
So if we take a quick history lesson, so if we look over the last 6 years, mm-hmm. 6 years ago, you were back in your 20s. What a time to be alive. Good news is, the Botox is making you look like you're still mid-20s, it's doing its job. So 6 years ago, right, Labor government came in, there was a big focus on, hey, we want to increase the supply of properties. Yep. So we're going to have a huge focus on new builds. So pretty much you buy anything that's not a new build, we're going to slap you with penalties. You're going to lose your interest deductibility. There's a different bright line rule. Then in terms of the whole property market, there's a big swing towards like protecting tenants, which we can argue another day, is that good or bad for tenants and owners? But Ilse, the market is changing.
Massively changing. It's really interesting to see the trends of inquiry coming through my website, through, you know, DMs on social media, and a general awareness growing for a massive opportunity that is being able to add value, you know, cash flow hack, manipulate properties, because people are after cash. The cost of living so high, investors who are looking to progress themselves are actively looking for better ways to invest in property.
And I think the like you sort of talk about there, cost of living's high, but the cost of interest is also exceptionally high at the moment, relatively speaking. A lot of people bought these new build properties on, you know, 2%, 1.99%, 2%. And boy, those yields look all right. When you're at 1.99 now, you're at, you know, 7%, 7.2% for some people. That is a pretty tough pill to swallow when you're looking at an investment property.
Definitely. I think the most common inquiry I have through the website is an investor who will approach me and say, hey, I bought this property off the plans. It was valued up front at $700,000. When it actually materialized, the market had come back so far over those 18 months, it's worth $500,000 something. You know, a good chunk of their deposit had been eaten away in that period. And also because it was part of a large development, the appraisals for rent, in reality, when all those properties come online, you know, one, the interest rate's 3 to 4 times higher than they were tested at, and the rent is lower than they're appraised. So everyone's really having that bit of pill at the moment. They're looking for solutions to that to move forward.
Yeah. And we're talking here about the ways that we were incentivized to buy new build properties. But like James alluded to, the market is swinging a little bit. And we've had some changes from the government recently that maybe there is a bit of an arbitrage, a bit of an opportunity to switch tack from new builds to in situs. Do you want to run through a couple of those changes?
Yeah, sure. So I think there's definitely positivity at the light of the tunnel, right? We're seeing that there are some positive changes for the existing build world. So I don't really focus on buying existing builds to not renovate or add value to, but certainly in terms of the land development aspect, there's still a benefit of buying an existing build. Now, the conditions, there was an article on interest.co.nz last week that was really interesting because, you know, if any investor is looking to buy property, they're looking for the signs, right? And there were three really great signs right now. So you've got record low numbers of auction. And as a buyer, that's particularly intimidating, right? Because you bear the risk of sunk cost of reports and fees and things up front at the risk you still may not have the deepest pockets. Yeah. And if you're a new buyer, you probably don't have the deepest pockets. Then we have listings coming back up closer to a normal seasonal volume. And then also the prices for existing builds are lower than they have been for new builds because of those previous incentives.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for three signs, we literally have those signs. But the issue is that most people can't afford the cost of money to buy all these listings down the road.
Yeah, and those are really interesting signs there, right? I mean, the houses not selling at auction, I find super interesting because, again, you've got the sunk cost of, you know, the RVs, the due diligence, everything that's going to cost you money. But also, buying by negotiation is so much better for a buyer because you're not negotiating with the market, you're negotiating with the vendor. So you're not in a room with 50 other people who all want the same thing. It's literally you and the vendor trying to nut out a price, which is a lot more favorable.
Totally. You literally have leverage by referencing or using all of those other listings on the market against that vendor to get what you want. And there's another option that could be easier, simpler, cheaper down the road.
Yeah.
So there's all of that choice there.
Yeah. So if we think about the changes that have actually happened that is making maybe this opportunity. So the first one is Brightline is coming back. Mm-hmm. So Brightline's currently at 10 years. It's moving to 2 years. Mm-hmm. And the second one is interest deductibility. So for those who don't know or don't remember, essentially we've got two markets at the moment. The interest on the loan can be treated as an expense for a new build for an existing property. The government's pretty much gone, or the previous government gone, hey, you got to deal with that bill yourself. From the 1st of April, they've gone, you can now deduct 80% of that interest from 0%, which mm-hmm. is a huge difference,
yeah. yes.
moving back to 100% next year. Mm-hmm. Ilse, my question for you, it doesn't look like, so there's more advantages now to existing properties. We've mm-hmm. gone from two markets to pretty much getting close to having one market. Mm-hmm. I would have thought existing property prices would have jumped, but it doesn't feel like that's really happened.
I think what's where the opportunity sits right now is that because there has been, you know, 6 years of focus on pushing housing stock, which is A, great for the country, but B, difficult when you incentivize one particular part of the market. There's a ton of leftover existing build stock that's been sitting there, almost forgotten about. So we're actually in sort of this, the way I view it is, vendors of existing builds are now available. People are bringing their stock to the market, but the buyers haven't been so educated or aware for a while as to how to go about it. And because of that cost of fund being higher right now, there's an amazing amount of stock out there. Mm-hmm. And there's also a combination of that with motivated vendors. So if you're the buyer who can recognize that, A, I can buy this, I've got this choice in properties, existing builds, that demand has not been there. And so they are cheaper than the new builds. And then you can A, add value to them, B, cash flow hack them, you know, get a higher return. So the opportunities to help yourself along are actually higher than they've ever been because they're at discount right now.
Yeah. Mm. And if we're looking at the cost to entry, let's say of new build, townhouse, Auckland, you're talking early 700s, kind of minimum, late 600s. When you're looking at houses in the regions to cash flow hack and renovate, what sort of a general entry point you're looking at?
Interestingly, I would say for the last 2.5-3 years, the sweet spot was around 400 to 430,000 for, let's say, a 3-bedroom house. We turn into a 4 or a 5 when we find the right ones. There is so much choice out there that we've actually dropped to about the mid 300,000s to high 300,000s.
Robert, can you put the record coming off this record stretch here? Mid 300s to high 300,000s for an investment property. And I know there is a larger deposit requirement. However, that's probably not too bad. That's a pretty, pretty good entry point.
It's really crazy because we've come down, you know, 15, 20% from where we were a couple of years ago. But what's great, right, is that the existing builds are where we also focus on the higher intensity land.
Yeah.
So even if it's outside of Auckland, we're looking for those new district plans that are now in place. You know, the government has been trying to stimulate stock. So we're still picking up land that can have additional dwellings without resource consent. And if these sections where we know how to spot specific or target specific areas, they then can be subdivided. You now have a purchase which has one property currently on it, but could ultimately become 4 dwellings. That's an incredible amount of future development for a $380,000 price point.
So. Yeah, that's unheard of.
And if you think about the goal of increasing supply, which we all agree is a good thing, that's still achieving the same goal as a new build, right?
Exactly. And on a smaller scale, if we're cash flow hacking or adding internal bedrooms to properties, we find that can have those added to the current footprint. Mm. You know, that's also enabling you to access a wider tenant pool. Say it's a 2-bedroom house originally, if we turn that into a 3, that's now open to, you know, the top of the bell curve where most people need a 3-bedroom house as a family. The demand is so much higher there. So if you're buying a 3-bedroom house in the $300,000 price range, you're suddenly able to access a wider demand of tenant pool. The demand for that house and the return on that house is massively higher.
Yeah. 2 points I want to touch on. The first is we've mentioned cash flow hacking a few times. If you haven't seen the episode with Ilse, we'll pop it in the notes down the bottom. Go and check that out because we've done like a half hour episode explaining essentially what you do every day, Ilse. The second point I want to touch on is one piece we haven't spoken about. It's still a big benefit of new builds opposed to existing is the deposit requirements, right? So if you're buying a new build as an investment property, you need a 20% deposit. If you buy an existing property, you need a 35% deposit. However, if we are talking about a $700,000 house in dollars, that's $140,000. But if we're talking we're buying a $400,000 property in the regions, 35% is still a lower dollar figure number.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting. People think in terms of percentages, but if it creates other opportunities, then you shouldn't necessarily dismiss them, right?
Definitely. And what's interesting with that is that because the dollar amount for an existing build at that price is low, and where I would say nearly half the deals we're doing right now are off market or pre-market. So motivated existing build vendors are obviously not in a position, well, we're seeing they're not in a position to sort of wait 30, 40, 60 days to sell. So they're actively coming to groups where they know people like myself. We have buyers who are pre-approved, specific about what they're hunting for. They're guided. And so they're approaching agents to say, hey, who do you have? So we're doing a massive proportion of off-market deals. So if you're buying a house for, you know, below market in that game, the deposit might be $140,000, say. By the time you add value, for the first time in years, I'm seeing all of the cash being recycled out.
Yeah.
And that was something that was not achievable the last few years.
Yeah. And if you're watching this and you're thinking, I don't quite have the 35% deposit, but maybe I have 20%, have a chat to your mortgage broker. There are products out there where you can go 80% across your entire portfolio so long as you have an owner-occupied property.
You wait till the phone calls you get after saying that.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, yeah.
So, James, before we continue, I have got a special announcement.
Have you started sticking to your budget?
Absolutely not.
You finally made it as an after-hours DJ.
I wish. Mate, the thing is, we have got a brand new podcast partner, Partners Life.
You mean the award-winning insurance provider with over 300,000 Kiwis insured?
Yep. They're also a New Zealand-operated company, and they are passionate about increasing financial literacy amongst Kiwis.
Sounds like a great match. Where can I learn more about them?
Check out their website in our show notes below.
Really thought DJ Magic Mike was going to be a global sensation for a second. So, Ilse, what areas of the country are quite hot at the moment that you're looking at and doing deals?
Well, that's a secret sauce.
No. James, that's the $1 million. Yeah. No, that's the $350,000 question.
Yeah. I'll give you the tip. I'll give the tip, Ilse. You'll know this. Is you give people all of the secrets, they still won't do them. They'll still come to you and do business. So tell us, where in the country?
Hey, we're seeing that in the market, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So from Whangarei right down to Dunedin.
So what you're really saying, Ilse, you don't like Invercargill, is it? Invercargill and Gore off the...
The property fundamentals remain true. If you said, I have $400,000, where should I invest? You still want the most robust population, diverse employment opportunities, strong employment opportunities, you know, all of those great things that we've always learned about. So if you have $400,000 and you're looking at Invercargill versus, you know, a place really close to Auckland and the Golden Triangle, Rotorua or a regional centre, you're always still going to look for where's the strongest place to put that 400, not just throw 400 out.
Yeah, slide Invercargill.
Nannies won't be happy about the
smathful. Sometimes you lay away awake at night and just wait for the interest rates to crush
Smack talk. Honestly, I've just been practicing my Thai over the past. Yep. I tell you what, Mike, nannies won't be happy about all this smack talk about Invercargill. Nannies is my wife's grandmother who lives in Invercargill, by the way. So
her and I, we did her first tequila shot together at James's wedding.
Yeah. She's a big fan of Mike. She told me to say hi, actually.
Yep.
Okay, so anywhere between Whangarei and Dunedin is open for business pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you know exactly where to go.
Out.
Yeah.
You're giving away all of your secrets. Yeah. Maybe it's good to talk about a case study that we've had recently. So I had a young couple, I think they had two kids, early 30s, and they came to me being like, James, we've seen the podcast, we've done all the reading, we want to buy a new build investment property. Mm-hmm. And I was like, cool, so you're working part-time at the moment, you hope your income will go up, but it hasn't gone up yet, and you're paying for two lots of childcare costs. Are you aware a new build property will set you back $2,000 a month if you buy this particular property? And they're like, well, that doesn't sound particularly good for me. So they tried to talk me into buying a new build just because they had trained themselves that was the logical step, which you can probably argue is what's happening at the market at the moment, right? People have been trained to think I should go buy a new build property. But at the end of the day, what we care about is I don't want to put a customer in a bad situation where they think they're doing something good for their future, but their cash flow, they're going to, you know, go backwards and it's going to impact their lifestyle and all those sort of things. So I sent them your way. Do you want to run through what you did?
Yeah, I think really such a lovely couple. And honestly, although they had, like you say, they've been trained to think a certain way, they were incredibly well educated because of your podcast and completely open to different methods of achieving what they want. I think by working with your team, they were very clear about an end goal. And I said, okay, so what do you want? Where do you want to look? You know, do you have any market preferences, et cetera? And they said, you know what? We have a plan with James and we know financially what the property needs to return. We're open to however we go about it as long as the next property closes our gap. And so they were basically perfect clients. They said, show us the numbers. We looked at a couple of different areas. Where we've ended up is in Whangarei. We had one, almost like a test case. I presented a property. We could add value. There were a couple of limitations. I said, I still want to put this in front of you. We can talk about the pros, the cons. Basically, where you with them had identified they needed to achieve a 7% gross yield or return on that rental property that they would be hunting for. And if they'd looked for a new build, they would not have, definitely would have fallen short of that, right? Yeah. So where we've ended up is buying an off-market property. We were up in, I was up with a few other clients in Whangarei. A couple of agents heard. They said, look, we have three off-market properties. So I took, I went and had a look at them with our power team professionals. And of the three, found that one would be perfect because there was a constraint of purchase price, right? So budget and return. So it was a bit of a tricky one. We were looking at maximum $450,000 of debt, which, you know, if you're looking to add value, that includes a renovation. Mm. So there was a constraint of how much could we spend versus how much work needs to be done and how do we achieve a 7% return minimum. So what we've found is a two-bedroom, one-bathroom house that was an owner-occupied property. The reason that's significant is that if you're buying a long-term rental, it is most likely going to be in far terrible, a terrible condition compared to an owner-occupied. This place is double glazing in a suburb that never have I seen before double glazing. It was basically a high-spec property at a discount price in one of my favorite suburbs where we have had years of record rents because we add one or two bedrooms and there's extremely high demand. So we tap into that. Basically, this two-bedroom, one-bath house is going to turn into a four-bedroom, two-bath house, but get this, without needing building consent. We will get a building consent exemption process through the council and it will be a 7.9% gross yield return. Starts tomorrow, the renovation, it'll be done in a month.
Yeah, you free this weekend, Mike?
Mate, my Botox just cracked.
How does that happen without getting too technical with the council stuff? Mm-hmm. Why is there an exemption like that?
Well, there are, I say hacks a lot. I'm looking for cost-effective, time-effective ways for my clients to achieve high returns. So there are ways through the building code that you don't need to have consent as long as you follow the rules and you have all the professionals involved. So nothing's, you know, we're not cutting anything. Here, yeah. No. So one of those hacks is to have it's called an up to 30 square meter detached building. Now, the way that this house is laid out is it has a deck that runs off the back. There's already a ranch slider opening up from the lounge. There's a natural area to add a cabin or a sleep out. And under certain rules, if you space it correctly, you have it healthy home certified and you build it a certain way, you do not need building consent. It also happens that with this house, there is a laundry conversion into an illegal shower. So through our engagement with the council, we've found out that they've guided us step by step as to how we can just basically get the exemption to have this signed off, redo some of the dodgy work that we found. And then this becomes a four-bedroom, two-bath rental. And it's in an area where we have run a lot of renovations and our property managers know there are specific tenant demands. And quite often in places like this, you have three generations of family. Someone needs a slightly separate space, but it's still part of the same rental. So what would have been about a $450 per week rental is going to be closer to $700 when we finish.
Okay, so the rents, I got questions. The rent's increasing from $450 to $700.
Just shy.
How much did you say the renovations was going to cost?
So including the two-bedroom sleep-out, so this is a custom on-site build, it will be, so the purchase price we had off-market already negotiated for $368,000, but through finding unconsented works, we negotiated that down 24 hours before going unconditional, of course, to to $353,000 is the final price. And then the total investment on top of that is around about $80,000 renovation, okay. Yeah. Including that two-bedroom cabin.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So all in, we're somewhere, what, 430? Is that?
About 435, yeah. Yeah.
And then have you got any idea what the property will be valued at roughly at the end of this, end of the exercise?
No, so where we're actually buying is an area where first-time buyers buy or people like us buy. Yeah. So it's, you know, we're adding value, but they're not transacting. Mm. So we don't have any existing sales evidence. And that was definitely a consideration. But with this couple, they're not looking to make an immediate move. Mm. The number one criteria was let's beat 7% return.
Yeah.
But hey, we're doubling the number of bedrooms, we're doubling the number of bathrooms, and we're at the bottom of the market.
Yeah.
So
it's reasonably long-term safe bet that she's going to go up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. And, and I mean, the people might go, James, like in the financial plan, where did you come up with the number 7%? I'm sure there was some sort of detailed calculation working it out. It was very simple. I didn't want them to, like, from a cash flow perspective, lose any money. So, I mean, my part in it was really just going, hey, I don't want to put them under cash flow stress. You found a great opportunity, which is definitely just a long-term buy and hold for them. Mm. And they've also got all this experience, right, of going through this process with you. I'm sure they're a very smart couple. I'm sure they've learned a lot from working with you.
They have, and they've had very open minds, which is critical because, you know, they've come right down from this side of the continuum where they thought, hey, we're going in to see James, we're going to find this new build. And I've had to take them on this full journey of, okay, well, here's a different way to look at things. And they've been so open-minded speaking with each of the professionals. And that's what is very critical is it's not, hey, Ilse's saying this is what we can create. It's speak with a professional manager on the ground because, hey, they live in Christchurch. They've just bought a property in Whangarei. Yeah. They don't know the ins and outs of what's going on. Literally to the street level, what are the social dynamics? You know, what's going on up there? Our professionals will give them the time to help educate from each of those points of view and give them the opportunity to completely self-educate.
Yeah, awesome. So how long do we think this sweet spot's going to last for where people haven't worked out that existing properties have quite a bit of value at the moment?
That is the other million-dollar question. But I think if you're ready to move now and you educate, literally now is I have never seen prices this low.
Yeah.
I doubt they will continue. The fact that conditions are moving towards being more favourable and with 1st of April next year being 100% interest deductibility for all property, I would say that's the cap. So we're expecting those changes to come through more formally around July.
Yeah.
So I would argue between now and July, more your first mover or those who are going, cool, I've educated myself, I have the budget and I can handle the cash flow if I add value, those astute investors will move.
Yeah.
Once those announcements in July happen, more of the market will go, cool, now I've been given the other signal. So that's when more people will move and the opportunities will drop.
Yeah, and as those interest rates keep coming down, those prices will keep creeping up. And we have seen, you know, the wholesale cost of funds has been dropping.
Mm.
We've got an official cash rate announcement in April. My prediction is they'll hold it steady.
Ilse, anything else to add?
If you're looking to improve your financial situation, but you're not quite sure how, what I love is when I speak with clients that you've brought across to me, they're in a position where they've come to you because they know they need a plan. You've given them a range of options as to how about, you know, here's where you need to get to, here's what you need to do to ready yourself. And then you're providing them with options and tools to go about it. So simply by introducing this couple to myself, they were able to get that information, decide that it does fit the original plan they have with you. And now they've literally closed the gap. They've achieved their goal.
Yeah.
So I think you do a great job of being able to provide those options, show them the path, and then they can put themselves in that path of opportunity to close that gap.
Yeah. And I think the other big thing is like new builds are, all due respect, new builds are easier, right? Just because you sign a contract, you do a bit of DD, like you wait for the property to be done, it's kind of all set and done.
Mm.
It is a bit more scary working with you just because we're talking about renovations, we're talking about, you know,
I think what my friend means is taking on a project and a large amount of risk can seem really scary, right? If you look at the example specifically, you got a couple who live in Christchurch who are buying at the other end of the country in a market they really don't know a lot about, and then they're going to have to trust that someone is saying, here's the right house to buy and I'm going to manage it for you.
Yeah.
I think that's potentially the worrying bit.
But before you all both freaked out, I think the really important thing to do is you're all going through a process where we're talking about buying a property off market, where we're immediately adding value, right? We're doing something that others aren't doing, and then we're adding value to the property. And going through those steps, while there are more steps and it might seem a little bit more scary for somebody who's never done anything like this before. That's where, opposed to buying a new build, great thing about buying a new build, you buy a new build, you pour your income into it, you'll get like a long-term capital gain number. Yeah. But if you've got the right support and the right coaching, we can see much more immediate benefits.
Yeah. That's right. You're pushing, I mean, it's literally looking for the best of everything possible. So you're adding value, you're boosting that equity. I call it the sunscreen effect, that if, you know, you add value, well, maybe it's not so, it's not so warm anymore. Yeah. I was saying that. I need a snow hat or something. I don't know. Basically, you're adding value. So you're creating a property that's worth more after 4 or 6 weeks of renovation. Look, if the market does come back a little, it's some of the gain that gets eroded away first. It's a bit of a safety net rather than having your hard-earned capital that you've been working 9 to 5 for being eroded away. And I get that things are scary. You know, every time you start a new job, that first day is hella daunting, right? But every day you go back, you learn a bit more, you become more proficient. This is the same thing, but you're completely guided by professionals all the way. A client who comes to speak to me, who works with you, is actually working within your trust and they trust you. So they have their minds open, and myself and the other professionals will continue on that to make sure they close the gap.
Yeah. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We're in that sweet spot right now. So something really interesting to think about going, you know, maybe you've always looked at new builds, maybe there's an opportunity. So feel free to reach out to Ilse if you want to have that discussion, if you want to come and talk to us about a financial plan or what you might be able to borrow on the mortgage side. Make sure to touch base. Thank you very much to Partners Life for sponsoring this episode. Please make sure to subscribe, review, and like, and we will catch you next time.
Cheers.